Welcome back to The Table Women, a podcast by and about women in the entertainment industry. I'm Sarah DeForest.
And I'm Victoria Banks.
It's season four, and we're excited to be back with a whole new group of inspiring creators and industry tastemakers. You know the drill. Pull up a chair and get nice and comfy, because everyone is welcome and everyone deserves a seat at
the table.
Do what you want, work what you got, say what you think, and don't let them stop you. Stop you, don't let them stop. Stop you, don't let them stop you.
Welcome back. It has been an unexpectedly long time,
but we
at the table are back at the table.
That's right.
And we are very excited. We've already done a handful of our interviews, and everyone's been having really great conversations, and the world has changed so much in the past year or so since we've chatted. But since our newest episode is launching in just a couple of days on this coming Tuesday, we wanted to give you guys a little look behind the curtain and just chat about where we've been real quick, and we're going to answer this season's new rapid fire questions as well.
Oh no, so rapid fires.
I know, I was pulling them up and I was like, you know what, every single time I never actually prepare my answers, which is good because it's like the guests, but also bad because I was like, oh, we do ask kind of
they're hard questions. It's like the deer in the headlights look that we get when we ask the questions, and now we're going to turn them on ourselves. So I like asking them a lot better than answering them, but we'll do our best.
Yeah. And everyone's answers are so unique, and you get to see like how their brain works. So it's so fun.
Yes.
But Vic, where have you been and what have you been up to over the last year or so? What's changed in your life?
Well, like you said, we both had to sort of step away from the table for a little bit because our lives got really busy. And I just feel like I have four full-time jobs. I'm writing, still writing for the commercial country market. I'm teaching at Belmont, a full course load there. I'm performing. I've been traveling around quite a bit to perform. I've partnered with the Bluebird to do some really cool performances at different locations that they take the Bluebird afar. So they've taken me with some of my favorite collaborators to perform at Sundance in Utah and at Napa, and just got back from Santa Fe doing one there. I've got a performance coming up in New York City. I'm just super excited to be doing all this performing and jumping around. So balancing that, and of course parenting, which is another full-time job too. So just a lot going on. But I really missed doing this podcast because I really love just hearing the different stories of different women who are finding their way through this industry and all the different avenues that it offers. And it's always really inspiring to talk with them, and I always feel re-motivated to take my next steps when I'm doing that. So I'm excited for this season.
Me too. And it's been so fun to see you travel around, and I think it's one of those things where we're so spoiled here in Nashville. We get to see all those performances of amazing people and songwriters, and so it must be really cool to get to meet everyday people in other places around the country that have never experienced this kind of experience of like a writer's round. That's so fun.
It's really special. What about you, Sarah? What have you been doing?
Oh, I've been doing a little bit of some of the same. Definitely still writing, both for my own stuff and for other people. I've been really lucky over the last year to have some sync placements on MTV and Netflix, which we love, as well as my first label cut just came out just last week. So I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Actually, I'm going to give you a little spoiler. We interviewed the artist, Busy, and in the episode with her and a different episode, we chat about this very briefly with no title or anything about a song that we wrote in different things in the very first session that we ever did together, and that ended up being this cut.
That's the song.
That is the
song.
That's
so cool. So you can hear the behind the scenes scoop when you listen to our episode.
Exactly. You get actually two. We won't give away what the other episode is yet, but you get kind of like two versions, a little bit of talking behind the scenes of that. And it was really fun because we knew that it was special, but it was actually supposed to come out last year, and then she signed a label deal with Big Loud Rock, and then it got pushed, and so it's one of those Nashville things where it's like, oh my gosh, don't know if it'll happen. And it happened finally. As well as some other stuff behind the scenes of just like, it's been a, I feel like it was a pretty tough year for everybody. I had some deaths in the family and some other stuff, and I also unexpectedly had throat surgery, which put me out of the game for a while.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Well, you're sounding like you're back to your podcasting self.
Yes, all good. Point. Thankfully, it was not anything to do with my vocal cords. It just good. Was something right there that was affecting it. So no lasting damage other than it took me a lot longer to recover than I expected. But we are all good and some other fun stuff. But it's been really nice. It's been a good year and a crazy year, and it went by so fast. And now we are back. Like you mentioned, Vic, we've interviewed some really interesting people already. We like to batch stuff in case life gets crazy and other people's scheduling needs to change last minute, so we can kind of have some consistency for our listeners. And we're really excited about what's coming up, what we've done already. But we are going to do our new rapid fire questions that we've been giving to these guests. Some are familiar, some are new, and we're going to take our chance in the hot seat because it's only fair. So, Vic, do we want to start off? I'll ask you the first question, and we can, do you want to do you, and then we'll
go
do
back
me?
And forth?
Go back
yeah,
and forth?
Let's do that. Okay. Let's cool. do that.
All right, number one, who would be your dream collaborator if there was a guarantee they'd say yes?
Oh, so many to choose from. I'm going to choose a rather unorthodox answer, and I'm going to say Johann Sebastian Bach.
Wow.
Because Bach is was instrumental in my learning to be a musician. Mm-hmm. I was classically trained on piano and voice, sang a ton of Bach oratorios, played a ton of Bach on piano, and am such a fan and read books about the math of his music, and it's brilliant. And I just think it would be really interesting to collaborate with Bach and see what he would do, because when you think about it, the music he was creating was forefront, beyond the forefront of what existed, and it adapts really well into jazz and stuff like that now. So wouldn't it be fascinating to work with somebody like him in modern day circumstances and see what would happen? I think that'd be mind-blowing.
That's
anyhow
amazing.
That's a crazy dream.
I
so what about you? Who would be your dream collab?
You know, it's so funny, I'm going to go the complete opposite direction that you did, very intentionally. And as I asked you the question, I was like, I immediately know my answer and the reason, and I have two. Taylor Swift and Beyonce, because they're so relevant right now, and they're weirdly the same side and the different side of the same coin, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We just got, at the time we're recording this, we just got Beyonce's new album, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And she also has some amazing Black country female collaborators that she's highlighted, and it's just the most beautiful, like, interesting thing to go through right now for me. So I would love to not only work with her because she's amazing and an icon, but to see her process behind the scenes, I think, would be really fascinating. And to watch someone work that uses their influence for a bigger picture, to tell story, to tell history, to change things. I mean, she is doing monumental amounts of change right now for country and for music in general, but specifically country music and women of color. So I think that would be an incredible experience at the highest level. And Taylor Swift in the same way, of like at the absolute highest level of something and watching how someone functions. And I think we all in this town and in music in general have heard how her crazy, amazing brain works and how fast and we've seen it. And she always has really interesting high concept things, and to sit there and know her process behind the scenes and as a person and see that come to fruition and be a part of that would be really, really interesting in a way that is like so unique. Like almost nobody gets that experience. So I think that would be really fun.
That would be really fun. I listen to a lot of Taylor Swift, care of my 6 and 8 year old daughters who are total Swifties. And you know what? I'm like, if this is what my kids are going to listen to, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is pretty amazing music for kids to grow up on.
Yes.
It's really well crafted. As a songwriting instructor, I use the songs as examples in classes.
Yeah.
Because she uses all of the techniques and tools at our disposal as songwriters that are trying to reach a large audience, mm-hmm. with all of the, you know, tricks that pull your ear in and make things memorable, and she's got them all.
Yes.
So I think it's pretty cool.
I love that. I think your kids have some amazing growing up with that music, you know, that nostalgia stuff. All right, what advice would you give your younger self?
If I could go back and talk to myself younger, I think I would say, well, actually, a friend of mine said this one time, and I've taken it to heart. The quote is, take the hard out of it. And I love that. There are times in life when you have opportunities and then you freak out because you don't think you're qualified for them, or you feel like, you know, you get really nervous. Stage fright is a perfect example of that. And I think if you can go through those situations and take away the idea that something is supposed to be hard and instead replace it with the thought that you have the right to go and take that bull by the horns.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be hard, then that rewrites everything. So I think I would go back and tell myself that. Take the hard out of it. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to be stressed over it. You can just feel your own confidence. Prepare for it, but go in confidently knowing that you have the right to be there.
Yeah. I love that. I think on a similar note, I think for me it would be learn how to balance and not burn out early. Like, make that a part of your everyday life and your decision making before it becomes something that you have to learn. I think it's easier.
That's a big one.
You know, I think it's easier to kind of grow up with that. And I grew up with a mom who did everything all the time and constant go, go, go. And she always got it done, but it was always really stressful. And I think that's just like the world that a lot of women had to function in and grow up in. They didn't have a choice. But I think as the next generation, I'm teaching myself now that being able to do everything and being able to spread yourself thin and, you know, you don't want to, but technically you could, so I guess I'll say yes, is not the heroic option that I think we as women are taught that it is. And I'm undoing that, so hopefully my kids won't learn that from me and won't have to unlearn it in the first place. So I think, you know, learning balance and how to not burn out and how to prioritize the things that you want to and genuinely can do over kind of like that people-pleasing thing that so many of us have. I think that would be my thing.
That's a great one. I mean, life is going to teach you that lesson if you don't teach it to yourself, but life is going to teach it to you hard, and you don't want to hit that wall. So, yeah, learning that before you have to, that's a great way of putting it. And I think there is a song that would resonate with you. Ooh. You probably know it because we've talked about the Enneagram before. The album by Asleep at Last that's called Atlas Enneagram. If you listen to the song that's written for Enneagram 3, which we both are, it talks about that. It's like it totally resonates on that thought where it's like, what if you are good enough without accomplishments? What if you just deserve to be happy and peaceful
without achievement. I actually had never heard
listen
of that.
To that.
That's awesome.
Oh, you should listen to it. I had to pull my car over.
I'll put it in the notes too. So if someone wants to click that link, they can.
Yeah, find your Enneagram number on that album and listen to it. It's pretty remarkable.
Yes.
Each song is written for a different one.
I love that. All right, number three. If you could ask God, universe, whatever you believe in, one question, what would it be?
I know we've answered this one before. I think I've got a new question, and my new question would be, I'm curious to know whether I've had a conversation with God previous to my life on Earth to predetermine anything about what my challenges are going to be.
Interesting.
I'm curious whether we help to choose and curate our challenges in life in collaboration with God in some way.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought, and it would definitely change the way I think about things a little bit to know, oh, maybe I chose that challenge for myself. based on what it would teach me. You know, maybe I chose this hardship in advance.
Yeah.
In advance, thinking this is what I want to learn in my life. So I don't. That's what I would ask God this time around. What about you?
I love that. And before I answer that, have you heard of something called soul contracts?
No.
Okay, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Essentially, it is this psychiatrist who originally was a non-believer in anything really, but they were doing hypnosis and different stuff with their clients to help with trauma and all that stuff. And they found that a lot of their clients were reverting back to their higher self, which is a spiritual term for your soul that is not in the human body. And were, no matter what he asked, no matter who it was, he'd never talk to them about any of the other people. They all had similar answers to why things were and how things happened before we were born. And a lot of that had to do with soul contracts, which was your soul previous to being born deciding on, you know, who they were going to be and the gender and the family and why they're picking the parent for this lesson and the friend for this lesson and the husband for this lesson. And, you know, I'm going to go through a lot at the start of my life, but then I'm going to have so many lessons learned that the rest of my life can be more peaceful and different stuff like that. So they were all talking about this. And I will put it in the notes when I find it and I'll send it to you. That would, I feel like that would be really interesting to you because that, you know, that is such a big question so many people have. But yes, that is so interesting. I think my answer would be, I don't know if I necessarily have any big questions for my life at the moment. I think it would be a bigger one of if there is one creator or one source or even multiple, I think it would be an interesting thing to know what they think the biggest thing that humanity tends to get wrong or misunderstand about how things work. And on the flip side, maybe what's your favorite thing that you've ever created or done? What is, that would be such an interesting thing because we don't know all the things that were done, all the things in the universe. So I think that would, I can't think of anything that personally I would like to know. I feel like I've spent too much time already thinking about spiritual existential things. But I'd like to turn the question back and be what do you think humanity gets wrong? Or, the lesson that we keep not learning.
That's a great question, actually.
All right, number four. What's your favorite thing about yourself?
I think, and this is tied to my previous question for God, I think my favorite thing about myself is my ability to find and see the positive all the time. I've been through some really hard things in my life and some things that made it feel like I didn't know how to take the next step and keep moving on as a human being while carrying the weight of that in my past. And I think the key to finding that strength is to find the positive in everything. And there's always a positive in everything, no matter how terrible it is, even if it's just making you stronger, the fire that you're forged in. But I think that I'm always able to find the positive, and I'm able to find the positive in people as well, in personalities that can be difficult to deal with. I can sit in a room with anybody and enjoy it, you know? And that's being a songwriter is part of that too. Because you're put in a room with a lot of different types of people and put in some situations sometimes that are really difficult. Mm-hmm. And yet I feel like I always manage to find the beautiful in that person or that experience somehow. So that's my little superpower that I love most about myself. What about you, Sarah? What would you say is yours?
I think right now more than ever I've really been appreciating my ability to be a chameleon, but not just in a songwriter room. We tend to use that term as someone who can kind of shift to whatever the session needs. And I'm definitely that person and I'm very proud to be, but I think it's also in social situations and with friends. I think I've had a lot of people recently in sessions and out comment on how I hold space for people and I'm able to kind of like have an emotional conversation or get at the heart of what someone's trying to communicate but struggling to communicate, and you know, give a perspective or just hold space and understand when they don't think anyone's gonna understand. And I think I've always kind of known that was something that I did, but didn't put all that much thought behind it in terms of like I wasn't trying. And I've had a lot of people recently comment on that, and I think it's become something that I've become more aware of and more intentional with as I've gotten older. And I love that about myself, because I think a lot of people feel so unseen, and it is a real blessing to be able to make someone feel seen. And on the other side, it can be a little, not right now, because I am someone that like random strangers will tell their deepest, darkest secrets to on like a Friday night at the bar, not just because they're drunk, but just, you know, it just happens to be one of those things.
You have that air about you. Yes.
Yeah. And so sometimes you're like, I can't do this right now. And I think that's also
can't
a superpower.
Hold this space for you.
Knowing your boundaries and not letting
exactly.
people cross
there's your lesson in boundaries right
exactly.
there.
Absolutely. But I've really appreciated that a lot recently, and as I've gotten older and gotten to have some really beautiful conversations and connections with people because of that I think would never have happened if we weren't so, you know, willing to go a little deeper and hold space for people when they're, you know, being vulnerable. So I like that.
Yeah. Yes. I love that about you too.
Oh, thank you. We're on the last one already. All right,
oh, the last question already.
Yes.
Okay.
What's one thing you think is totally over or underrated?
Totally overrated social media. Mm. Totally underrated nature. I think we need to get our heads out of our dang machines and get outside and breathe the air and stand under the trees that we keep cutting down.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I just think that we are, as a parent, I worry that we're raising a generation of kids who don't appreciate outside.
Yeah.
And are finding their world in an electronic device instead of in the world that exists outside our door. So I think we need to do some work on that.
I agree with a lot of that. I think if it gives you any hope, though, I've seen a lot of young Gen Zers, like high school age, already going like, I'm getting rid of my smartphone and going back to a flip phone because I don't you know like that, and they're really concerned about nature and stuff. So hopefully that will be something that your kids and other younger kids kind of grow seeing modeled for them and are aware of. So hopefully that gives people a little bit
of
hope.
I love that. Just go the old flip phone way.
Yeah.
Let's start going backwards a little bit here. We've reached the edge and we've looked over the end of it and we're like, no, step back.
They already see it. I think for me, overrated is being right. I think so many people are so concerned with being right. They're not concerned with seeing nuance or connecting with someone on a personal level or seeing where someone might be coming from, even if they don't exactly have the words to articulate it. I feel like the biggest thing I've learned is oftentimes we might be talking about the same thing but have a different word that we use to describe it, or vice versa. We might be talking about the same thing but our definitions of that are very different. And I think that causes so much contention. And if we can get rid of the need to be right and need to be correct and be superior to someone in a conversation, in a discourse, whatever, and look at it as like a human-to-human thing, I think that would be a lot more helpful. Now, some things are absolutely right and wrong, and correct and incorrect. But I think overall, like my biggest example is I love the word feminism and how it has a completely different meaning to so many people. And I've had conversations with women who very like staunchly do not call themselves feminist and don't want to be labeled a feminist. And then when I ask them what they believe in, we have the conversation about, you know, being a woman and all these things, I find that more or less we are actually talking about the same thing. We are actually believing in the same thing and talking about the same experiences, but their definition of feminism is this very hardcore, like, mm-hmm. I hate men, don't hold the door for me, like, I want to be superior. And to me, that's not what that means. And so if we get rid of the thing that has been created to be so triggering and just like have the conversation without the title of it, I find that like we actually are a lot closer to the middle than we are farther apart. So I think that being right is overrated in a lot of
that's
senses.
Really well put. Yeah, I've seen that a lot moving to Nashville from Canada, you know, landing square in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And at first, having seen a lot of things that I found very triggering based on my external vision eyes of what the South is and what religion is in the South and all of those things. And then as I got to know people more and got to start having deeper conversations, realizing it's just different language for the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the motivations are the important thing underneath it, the intentions, but the language is what trips us up and gets in our way a lot of the time. And I think that's a lot of what gets in our way, you know, politically and religiously and all of those different realms. So that's, it's a good one.
Agreed. I think that is a perfect place for us to wrap it up and say we are so happy to be back with you guys. We're so excited to share these new interviews and have these new conversations. Hopefully this gave you a great little peek into where we've been, because I know a lot of you have been asking, and we promised we'd be back and we're back. And we will see you this coming Tuesday for our first official interview episode.
Woohoo! We'll see you then. To stay up to date on all things The Table on social media, join us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at the handle @TheTableWomen.
Our theme song, Stop You, is written and performed by yours truly, Sarah DeForest, co-written by Taylor Foley and Will McBeth, and produced by Will McBeth.
And as always, we'll include links to any creatives, music, television, etc. referenced in this episode in the episode notes.
We'll see you next time on
The Table.
Do what you want, work what you got, say what you think, and don't let them stop you. Stop you. Don't.